The Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial, the Sexy Boomer. That's Scott Robbins.
Yo.
Kristen Welker had J.D. Vance on the NBC Talking Head show yesterday morning. And it just kept pushing back on everything to do with Russia. Well, why? Why don't you? It's like, wait a second. We're doing more than's been done in years.
Yeah.
May not work out.
Yeah.
But it might. You know, you got to give it time. He said, yeah, we're still trying to get Putin and Zelensky together.
The president has applied more economic pressure to the Russians to stop this war than Biden did in 3 years.
You know,
so the idea that we're not doing anything, we're already doing things right now. And this is how negotiation works. You do something, you talk to the parties, you try to see if there's a meeting of minds. We're going to eventually be successful, or we'll hit a brick wall. And if we hit a brick wall, then we're going to continue this process of negotiation, of applying leverage.
Yeah, the way it's going to go. And they're not going to tell you right now what they're going to do if it all falls through. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
There's got to be the element of surprise that's, you know, part of it, which I'm sure will be criticized too. It's just part of it, I guess. Much like the criticism of John Bolton being raided the other day. Well, does he have classified documents? We don't know. Maybe he does. Remember when the left used to hate John Bolton?
Yeah. Well, now they love him because he hates Trump.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, people are talking about all the information he has and intel in his mustache.
I saw one where, it was the feds with a battering ram, but instead of the battering ram, someone photoshopped in a beard trimmer.
It's time to manscape.
Yeah.
Andrew McCabe, of all people, goes on, what was it, CNN, and is talking about norms and Cash Patel. Oh, this is a beauty. You know, this guy, formerly with the FBI.
Oh, yeah.
So I should say, with respect to the director's social media posting, I mean, it's yet another example of, in my opinion, Cash Patel failing to live up to the example of his predecessors. Oh. This is not the kind of thing.
See, right? Are you kidding me?
You mean
like Comey?
Like James Comey, who was knee deep in the Russia collusion hoax and then just recently put out a 6-minute long video talking about his love of Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A troubled man. Very troubled.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, go ahead, McCabe.
That any FBI director has ever done, FBI directors don't gratuitously point towards search warrants and the people who are the targets of those warrants.
Oh, really?
Sort of a way that could possibly be interpreted as grandstanding. So I think the implication here is pretty clear. He wanted to draw attention.
Hold on a second. You know what? Back to your earlier point, David. A lot of these people are banking on the fact that their viewers are dopes.
Yes.
And really don't follow news that much other than what they tell them at CNN.
Right.
Yeah.
To this law enforcement, this sensitive law enforcement activity at John Bolton's house, which anytime you draw press attention to a search warrant execution, you are elevating the risk that is posed to both the agents and the occupants at that place. So it's a pretty irresponsible thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, what, John Bolton's going to, what, step outside with a machine gun and say, you know, say hello to my little friend? What's the deal? What are you talking about here?
Well, it was funny, too, Megyn Kelly brought up. It's interesting. This guy is saying that when James O'Keefe had told the story about his house getting raided.
I was in handcuffs and I was in my apartment. The FBI had just executed a search warrant against an American journalist and unlawfully and broke the law. And then minutes later, I get a text message from Mike Schmidt, national security reporter, New York Times, who somehow he knows all these details. And I don't think the neighbors tipped him off that this is something that he knew. He had leaks from the Department of Justice.
Yeah, that's when he was still with Project Veritas.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there, they just show up. Weaponizing the Department of Justice. Oh, please.
You know, the thing is, the Republican Party, up till Trump, used to be one of these parties that was like, well, we're statesmen. We're above that. We're above the petty nonsense of the Democrats. You know, we don't play that kind of game. Well, you got to.
Trump's always said that.
And we're playing it. And we're going to play it again and again and again.
Yes.
And you know who can stop it? You can.
Well,
your party can. Next time you get into power, knock it off.
He said early on, with me, we fight back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And listen, this whole fair fight stuff, forget it.
The whole narrative, either that Trump is racist or, you know, he's breaking norms and going after political opponents and it's going to be authoritarian, I just think it falls on deaf ears to a large degree. What would it be, 20%, 25, 30 tops that have the TDS? Yeah. And then there's a group of people that probably don't like the way Trump goes about things, but like the policies. You have the people that love Trump no matter what. Some like him most of the time. It's like, dude, every once in a while, you need to chill. But for the ones with have TDS, they're the loudest and make the most noise. And there are a lot of those in media.
Yes.
I don't even think it represents most people that have voted Democratic most of their lives.
Oh, no.
Well, a lot of those people feel lost without a party.
Well, that's one of the reasons why the Democrat Party's approval rating is so low, is because Democrats, voters, are not happy with the way that they're handling things.
Yeah, and the nuts Democrats are the ones that say, you don't fight hard enough. Yeah, they got a lot of problems. There's no doubt about that. All right, it's that time of the show. We do it a couple of times a day. Go across the table. May not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention. David, what's your story today?
I happen to see this, and I will say my takeaway is that AI is allowing us to avoid awkward situations and conversations while also making those situations more awkward. And the reason I say that is because this video is making the rounds. There's a young woman who still lives at home with the parents and a younger brother. Mm-hmm. And she got a message from her dad about a certain personal item that she left in the bathroom. And he used AI to have President Trump give her the message about it.
Have you heard this guy?
No.
I haven't either. We'll enjoy this together. Roll it.
Hi, sweetheart. There's no reason to be embarrassed, but I found your green goblin. Or that's what your mother used to call it. You should be a bit more careful about what you leave in the bathroom. Your younger brother is in there all the time for like hours on end. Please keep these things private. To be frank with you, I didn't believe it when I first saw it. Anyways, take it easy, champ. You're not training for the Olympics. Let's keep the bathroom a family-friendly space. And don't worry, I won't tell Mom. Love you.
Green goblin. That's what Mom used to call him.
So it's give her a heads up. I found it. It's okay. No one else has to know. Oh. And then do it in the funniest way possible.
Wow. That is hilarious. Top that, Scott Robbins, for your story. I can't either.
I just want to say, so the bit's over now. Let's just move on. My story today involves the 2.7 million people who have now signed a petition asking for leniency for the Florida truck driver that killed three people.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess being an illegal alien means you can kill people and face no consequences whatsoever. That seems to be the thinking behind all this anyway. I'm asking Governor DeSantis to be lenient on Sign. Is that the guy's last name? Sign? S-I-N-G-H?
Sing Sign?
he was the truck driver who killed the three innocent people. He'd killed them because he couldn't read the traffic signs, right?
Yes.
And he didn't speak English, and there was a ton of things. I did not realize this, but the guy's lived here in the U.S. for 7 freaking years. Hasn't learned the language. Can't do his job because he can't read the signs.
But passed the test.
Yeah. Getting only
there should
two,
be a lot of people responsible.
Getting only 2 questions right, by the way, of the 12.
2 out of 12.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not really a passing score anywhere. Unless you're grading on the curve and you're in the class with imbeciles. Yes.
The whole thing with the petition, who actually signs it?
Losers on the internet.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and the ones who make the videos. Those.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I can't even believe it happens to begin with. First of all, I can't even believe there was a petition arguing this guy should get leniency. Really?
It's crazy the things the left will openly advocate for.
Yeah, rules don't apply to them. They're the victims.
No.
Got it. Okay.
Okay, for my story, I brought this guy up before. I played a few clips. Andrew Huberman. I don't listen to the podcast all the time, but I've listened to it several times as far as health news and, you know, benefits to eating this or this activity, this form of training, all that sort of stuff. It's pretty fascinating. He's on Bill Maher's show with Christopher Rufo, Frank Bruni, and he starts talking about the recent studies when it comes to alcohol. And he's talked about this for a while, Huberman has. And so I just wanted to play this clip, and as I play it, Scott, I want you to envision yourself 20 to 30 years ago hearing this information and what you would have thought of it at the time.
All right.
Okay? Roll it.
But of course, alcohol's worse than pot.
Alcohol's worse than pot.
Everything, know? Right?
Yeah.
Basically, isn't alcohol worse than everything?
Yeah. Zero alcohol is better than any.
Right.
Two drinks maximum for an adult non-alcoholic per week. It's kind of the upper threshold.
Week.
Per week.
Week.
Wait, what you can do with...
Time out. Upper echelon. Two drinks per week.
No, well, 30 years ago, it was two drinks per 20 minutes.
You were way more than two a day. Way more.
Well, are you kidding me? Two a day? That's called just sitting down.
I know.
Yeah.
No one would have guessed this years ago.
Oh, no. No. I mean,
two a week would be the upper threshold.
Yes.
Holy cow.
That's what you do without starting to increase your risk for cancer, increase your, you know, about 5% of all
business
cancers.
Week? I mean, you're talking about five business days or we, wow.
Weekend exemption.
Thank you.
I mean, drinking's at an all-time low, and I think it's because people realize that, yes, it helps you fall asleep, but your sleep is super lousy. It messes up your gut microbiome. I'm not a teetotaler. I really think that people should do as they wish but know what they're doing. But in terms of increasing your risk of cancer, especially for women and breast cancer,
right.
it's unequivocal. And there's yet another study this week that shows that even moderate drinking is bad. If you enjoy drinking, just limit it and do a bunch of other things like get your morning sunlight, get your exercise, eat well, to offset the damage you're doing.
How many drinks do you have a day?
Apparently way too many.
Yeah, that's Bruni. It's just wild.
Wow.
When you think about every study that's come out just in the last 20 years, because I can remember, what was it, 06, 07, whatever. Yeah, a glass of wine or two a day with dinner, that's good for heart health.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This brought to you by Napa Valley.
Yeah, we bought into all that.
I could have
sometimes it's, you know, news that you want to be true. So, yes, you celebrate it.
I could drink two drinks a day if they were both 64 ounces.
Well, that was the whole thing you always said. I had a couple of beers, and they were schooners that were like, what, 28 ounces?
Yeah, they're big. 48.
48?
I think they were the equivalent of like four beers, three or four beers or whatever.
So basically, you're taking two pitchers and saying, I had two beers.
Right.
You just drank out of the pitcher, basically.
I felt better about myself after that.
Yeah.
How many beers did you have? Well, I had two.
Funny piece of audio to get to at Nimrod's of the News coming up.